Broadcasting from Lockport, New York, it's time for The Dads Must Be Crazy. Just three guys raising kids and currently hiding from them in an undisclosed tool shed to talk about parenting, pop culture, and penguins. Or something else that starts with a P. It's Craig, the stay-at-home dad historian and hockey enthusiast. Howie, the stay-at-home dad who used to be a reporter when journalism was a thing. And Bobby, the retired Army vet, Trekkie, and gamer, helping to raise three kids in beautiful Western New York. Now, here's the dads.
Welcome to the Dads Must Be Crazy.
We're back, Craig. We're
joined
back
by Howie.
Hi.
And Bobby.
Howdy.
And yes, we're back. We've had a little bit of a layoff, mostly because
we're all crazy busy.
Very, very busy.
Yeah, scheduling conflicts.
Yeah, so hopefully we have that figured out for the time being. We, of course, do not record in the month of December, so we'll just try to get as much as we can in between now and then. We take a break in December, so we'll have two breaks this year.
Well, the whole world took a break, and we decided we needed to take a break. So this will be break number three.
Will it not?
Yeah. But the first one was by necessity. The second one was because we just...
By necessity, or was it by fear?
I don't think it was by fear. I've never been afraid of that.
No, I would have kept on going.
Look, let's put it this way. Hindsight is this year. So,
right.
I don't know. Bottom line is, well, by the time the year is out, we will have had three breaks.
Yep. A regularly scheduled break.
Yeah.
Because December's just way too busy with all the holidays and stuff. Birthday, mine.
Yeah. And then you're back in school. I'm doing my graduate studies.
That's right.
You're back at work and helping your, you know, lovely bride pick up the slack at the house because of the way school is being conducted this year.
It's been...
We're busy dads.
Crazy.
We're busy dads.
It's not a matter of us must being crazy. It's a matter of us just simply being crazy.
Yeah, we should change the title.
The dads are crazy.
We're just BS crazy right now.
We're crazy dads. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Do we have any big plans to finish up the year?
You looked at me when you asked that. So.
Well, I know you're going to school, so I figured I'd talk to you first. Well, you both are, but you're way more into it than...
Yeah, but how many classes are you taking, Bobby?
I take one
at a time, but I'm considered full-time because of the workload from each class.
Okay. So, well, then, for comparison's sake, you're one. I'm not sure what it is or how many credit hours it is. I'm taking six.
I write four papers a week.
Okay. I'm doing about that or more over the course of six classes. And, I mean, I'm doing it to get teaching certification.
Yeah.
I took four classes over the summer. I'm taking six classes now. And unless I think I did some math wrong along the way. I thought I had four classes I needed to take in the spring because I moved one to the fall. Turns out, I think I only have three classes to take in the spring. So, shocker to you two, I think I might wind up throwing in a history of cinema course in there somewhere.
One of our episodes, we weren't sure. We had a meeting last week, a production meeting, about what we're going to do. One of the shows that we're going to do, we weren't sure about. After we got off our meeting, I said to my wife, we're going to have a Howie intervention.
Now, however, I'm going to defend that choice, that course, if it fits into the schedule, number one.
We'll just save it to your intervention.
No, I'm defending this. This is not intervention related. This is coursework related.
Okay.
If I'm looking to get certification as a high school, you know, secondary English teacher, you guys remember what it was like in high school. You might have read the books, but I'm sure there were plenty of students who didn't read the books.
I always read the books.
Well, you're a unique person.
And
yes,
I was in my senior year, I was part of the sci-fi club, so we would read Dune and then watch the movie. We would read the Star Wars and then watch the Star Wars.
Okay, now, that is a very unique group of people who will read the book and then watch the movie. They're going to be people, we all went to school with them, who are like, I'm just going to watch the movie. I want to be able to properly assign something. If I assign a book that we go through in a given amount of time, and I know there's a movie for it that I plan on probably showing them at the end of that given amount of time, the people who have watched the movie and only watched the movie, I want to be able to give them an assignment too that adequately represents the spirit of the book and the source material. So that's where that whole thought process comes from.
So
I'm not encouraging them to watch the movie. I want to have it in my back pocket so I can properly assign a paper.
You're going to be an English teacher. Have you figured out what... I know you said high school.
Yeah, grade 7 to 12 certification.
anything you want to focus on in particular?
I haven't gotten to that point yet.
Right now, that'll determine what you can and can't teach. There's certain things that you're going to have to assign.
Oh yeah, right now I'm subbing in Lindenville for the foreseeable future for the same teacher on 3 days a week. So one of the things I'm doing in Lindenville is, you know, helping out a teacher who's going to be out for a little bit. And two of the stories that she's going to be teaching to 10th and 11th graders, one is Night, one is Fences. Embarrassingly, me, good little Jewish boy that I am, I have not yet read Night. I own a copy signed by Eli Wiesel, but I have not yet read the book.
I had to buy a second copy because mine was worn out.
I'm going to read it now because, you know, I've always wanted to, but it's one of those things where it's like, oh, I'm going to volunteer to read Holocaust fiction. It's like, do I want? It's one of those things that I got to psych myself up to get through something like
this
that.
This is way off from what I wanted to talk about, but
of course it is.
It's interesting. And people can hate me for this. I never really got the whole Anne Frank diary thing. It wasn't.
I've never read that one either because I have no desire
to. Night, was captivating.
I've read The Tattooist of Auschwitz. I've read Number of the Stars. I read The Devil's Arithmetic, which I loaned to one of your daughters. Did she read it?
Yeah, I'm supposed to give it back to you.
I'm not even asking if I can get it back. What did she think of it?
I don't know.
Okay. I read The Sunflower by Simon Wiesenthal. I mean, I've read a variety of different Holocaust stories, but it's not something where, like, you know, it's not like the type of historical fiction that you'd sit down and be like, I'm going to be wowed. It's one of those things where you're going to be affected in a different way. And it's just like, eh. So now, but I have a paperback version of the Night trilogy, and it's signed because he came to Syracuse 1 year while I was there, and he spoke to the Hillel group, and I have that copy. So
we have to go to Syracuse too.
You
have to give me a tour of the sixth floor of the Bird Library.
I'll be taking the same tour because that was one spot on campus I never went.
It's the rare manuscript collection.
It's their special collection. Yes. Bobby's sitting here like, what the heck is going on? What are we talking about today?
I have no idea.
All right. So anyway, go on. I brought up movies and we went off on a tangent. What a shock. I apologize. Let's go.
And you're going to school again.
We're talking about how crazy things are.
Well, I mean, I'm putting in, it really depends on the week, but it seems like the average is right around 28, 30 hours a week, and then full-time student in my dojo 4 days a week. 3 of those days, I'm instructing on top of training.
3 of those days, they know he's there. The 4th day, they think it's the tackling dummy.
Right. Pretty much any amount of free time I get, I spend with the wife and kids. Like, I don't really get... It's rare that I get video game time. Like, I think I may have played an hour in the past 2 weeks. I don't have time.
Isn't that like an unwind for you too, though?
Well, I mean, it kind of used to be. I've really replaced it with karate. Yeah. I've really replaced it with karate. Finally got laid. It's a Saturday. I finally got laid down in bed by 10.
Okay. I'm glad you finished that sentence.
I'm like, this is not shenanigans.
No. Like, I finally got laid down in bed by 10. And I was like, oh, okay, not bad. Usually on the weeknights, it's 9:30, 10 o'clock, same thing. And then I'm up at 5:30 every morning. So, you know, 5:30, workout, school, or workout, get ready for work.
Still the middle of the night when it's dark like that.
Yeah. And then get home, either cook dinner or go to the dojo.
That's literally old dark 30.
It is. Or work on school. Like, I don't have the free time like I used to. So...
I felt like such a slug after listening to what you guys do. I work 17 hours a week. I mean, it's not like I'm hurting myself.
I worked that in 2 days.
But my wife has taken on additional responsibilities at work.
Yeah.
And so she's got a lot of planning time that's now involved. And I've always done quite a bit around the house, but now I'm doing a lot more. I'll get home before she will on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Wednesdays aren't too bad because the girls have half a day of school online, so they kind of pick up after themselves. Thursday and Friday, it's like walking into the aftermath of a tornado, and all I can think of is she'll be home at 4:30, and the house is a disaster. She'll completely freak out and be stressed because now it's clean, dinner, work on schoolwork, go to bed, interact with the kids. So I try to make sure that things are picked up, and I take the girls to work when they have work schedules on those particular days. Corliss is going to physical therapy twice a week, so we go right from work on Wednesday to go out to the physical therapy place. And then on Monday, as soon as they walk in the door, like tomorrow, I have to take, Idalina's got to be to work at 3 o'clock and Corliss has to be at PT at 3 o'clock. They get home at 2:40 from school. So it is literally walk in the door, drop your stuff. Let's go.
Well, I'm sorry. Yeah. I have to ask this question. Don't your two older ones with licenses?
They have permits still.
Oh, okay.
See, that's like Madison now has been to the orthodontist like twice in the last week because she's got expanders.
And she was miserable yesterday.
She got expanders in the top and the bottom of her mouth because they're trying to make room for her teeth.
Are you saying, now she stayed at my house, are you trying to tell me that she doesn't have a big mouth?
Physically, no. Like physically, no, but she will give you a little piece of her mind for...
Oh, she does.
You know, like all 46 pounds of her.
She is pretty comfortable at my house, and it's hilarious.
Yeah, oh, my God. As long as she's not rude.
No, she's never rude. It's really funny. I'm like, really? I turn to my wife. I go, I can't believe she just said that. That was hilarious. I think... out of the 3 years that she's come to her house, she may have said one thing that was rude, immediately realized it, and then immediately apologized. So, I mean, she's always... sarcasm is a second language in our house, and some days it's the primary language. So,
yeah.
And she's good at it.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, she gets that from me a little bit, and then her mom, you know, taps in with that too, but...
Sarcasm's wonderful.
But I feel you, like... we've been doing all that, you know, a lot of the same stuff too. And then you add in appointments between the orthodontist for both of my girls and then the school. Like, I got the school nurse calling, hey, we need your daughter's physical. I turned that in the beginning of the year. Like, how do you not have this? Like, and it's frustrating. And I'm not, you know, I understand that things are different and I'm not demeaning the school or talking trash about the school system at all. I'm just saying, you know, mistakes are going to happen. Hiccups are going to happen. It's frustrating. Especially as a parent, if you make time in your busy schedule to go and do things and get it done, get stuff submitted in a timely fashion, and then now they're like, hey, we need your daughter's physical. I turned that in before the, you know, on the day one of school, you were supposed to have it. Boom, it's done. I don't get it.
On the plus side of waiting around, like when Corliss goes to PT, she's there from anywhere between 35 minutes and 60 minutes. 35 minutes... isn't enough time for me to go and do anything else, so I sit in the parking lot and I read. Sometimes I'm there for 35 minutes, sometimes I'm there for an hour, so I get a lot of reading done. And then when the twins get out of work, they may get out of work at 7 or 8 o'clock, I usually go with about 10 minutes to spare, because I like being there early, I don't want to rush, and I'll sit in the parking lot or the side of the road by their jobs, and I'll read while I'm waiting for them to come out. And I can tell you this, I've forgotten twice to take a book with me. And both times, one of the girls has worked an extra half hour, and I've just sat there like banging my head on the wall. But I've gotten a lot of reading done because of that, so there is a plus with that.
I think at one point you posted something somewhere on social media, like you read something like how many books from the time school started and everything started compounding on top of one another. How many books did you read from that point forward to now?
So for the month of. So far, I've read 9.
It's like a book every other day.
It is. And it was 12 or 13, maybe 14 for September. So let's say 24 books.
See, for me, I'm reading because I have to for class. I mean, two of the courses I'm taking are literature courses. One of them is there's 5 books over the course of the course. I can't believe I just said that sentence. But okay. And the other book has 8 books over the course of the semester, plus an extra one that you have to choose to read. And I showed you that one the other night. This, you can appreciate this a little bit, Bobby. It was, I have this multimedia project that I have to do for my young adult literature course. Mm-hmm. I can choose whatever book I want to read if I understood the directions correctly. Otherwise, I'm wasting a lot of my time. But I chose this book where the main character is a huge David Bowie fan. And I could do a playlist as my multimedia project. If this guy is basically all about Bowie and all the music that was inspired by him or that he was inspired by, this playlist is going to write itself.
Are you under pressure to complete this on a time?
I see what you did there. And
ding, 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 ding. Shh.
I don't believe this assignment is due until November 6th. So getting this book done and give me time to write that, you know, to come up with the proper playlist. I mean, I'm taking notes. I mean, I haven't read a book where I've taken notes, like on pages or whatever, until this semester began. I just wouldn't.
That's every nonfiction book I read.
I don't typically choose to read nonfiction.
I read a lot of it.
I mean, I did read a nonfiction book that I might consider even implementing in one of my future classes. Just generally speaking, I tend to read for enjoyment.
Yeah.
History is not enjoyable?
History is enjoyable, but I need to choose to... I choose very pickily what I enjoy.
Pickily.
Pickily.
Yes.
It sounds salty. Never mind.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm with you with the reading. I'm reading like a 400-page book for my current class.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm reading 2 chapters per week in it. But along with that goes, I got to get in school's library, which is digital. And now I'm reading research papers and studies, and there's statistics involved.
And they're so easy to get through.
Not really. They're a gigantic pain.
Yes.
And like some of the words, I'm like, what in the crap does this word mean? So, you know, you right click on it and you go search, and it's like, oh, it means this. Why didn't you say that? You know,
exactly.
Like, oh, we got to sound intelligent. But, you know, so you end up reading all this research and these studies, and then you go and you try to find stuff on, like, in layman's terms. And some of it could be from Healthline or Psychology Today. And it's not just 2 chapters a week I'm reading. It's multiple research papers and this. And I mean, with 4 papers.
I love research.
I know you love research. I don't like reading the research papers. The research you're talking about is, I had to go find this information about all these historical people and these buildings and stuff like that.
That's
our
fun.
Stuff, that's great. Our stuff is like, yeah, so when you look at the efficacy of this particular treatment in relation to autism spectrum disorder coupled with angry outbursts, well, the X plus the Y to squared equals the negative
there's
over
math
the line.
And there's letters.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yes.
And you're like,
they do that with English too.
Aristotle was an evil genius.
And exactly. And you're just like, it's not that I don't understand it. It takes a minute to process all of the stuff. And so there's a lot of brain power that goes into it. And then working 8 hours a day, because I mean, that's what I work when I work, coming home and reading, trying to write something about it, and then go into, you know, karate in the evening and remember all my stuff at 9:30. When I'm finally at home and I get out of the shower, I'm literally on autopilot at that point. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you want. Get out of my way. I'm going straight to my room and I'm going to faceplant right onto my bed.
I've had those nights since school year started because on top of what sounds like minimal stuff compared to you guys.
You only mentioned the 17 hours. That's the stuff you're getting paid for.
Right. I do work way more than that.
And as we've established on this entire podcast, we do a lot more than we get paid for.
Yes. So, the other thing
our wives do too, but still.
I'm just pointing out
what you're getting at.
I'm pointing out us. Like, don't forget us. Yeah.
The other thing I've taken on too is making sure that all 4 girls are doing the schoolwork they're supposed to be doing.
Right.
I am disappointed with what my 5th grade is supposed to be doing and what she thinks she should be doing, but there doesn't seem to be any work coming from the school. It seems like they're not doing enough.
Yeah, their online stuff
is very limited.
They're done in like 40, 50 minutes, maybe 2 hours. Because some of it, the part that drives me insane in all this, I'm like, okay, well, they go in to Google Classroom, they get their assignment. But then there's email that comes in and says, oh, you need to do this as well. Why is it not in Google Classroom? So now my kids have to look in a few different places to get all of their schoolwork. And then my oldest, who's in high school, is in honors biology. And so for her honors biology lab, she had to do like some online labs, which she did. She tried to turn them in and the system crashed. Her teacher gave her 0s for the assignments. And I was like, did you email your teacher and let her know that you could not turn these in? No. Okay, let's learn a very important lesson now. Technical issues happen. We email the teacher, say, hey, I did these. I couldn't turn them in. Teacher goes,
they're usually
okay.
Pretty forgiving on that.
And they're going to be, and they're trying to put somebody on it so she can get those things turned in. Because I'm like, if you get them turned in, your grade is like a 97 or something. So
exactly.
I've completely taken on Corlise's not covering for her, but making sure that she's getting all of her work done. During the spring, she wouldn't do anything. So now we have a hot spot for her, and she goes to work with me. She sits in the back room by herself. I check on her once an hour to make sure she's doing what she's supposed to be doing. And knock on wood, she's only gotten behind on 2 things. One of them she had to do Friday night because it was due Thursday night, and she lost a part of her grade. It was history, and it was the assignment. You're going to think this is hilarious. She had to imagine that Jesus, Buddha, Confucius, and Muhammad are having tea together.
I was going to say walk into a bar.
Yeah. Are having tea together, trying to determine which one should be the in the Humanitarian Hall of Fame, you know, who should be the greatest humanitarian by what they've done. And she was throwing a fit about it. And I go, well, you really can't portray Muhammad because you're not supposed to portray him at all. It's like against the Muslim religion.
It leads to bad things.
Right.
Yeah.
So she made a satire out of it. And so they're sitting down for tea, though Jesus wanted to give everybody water for obvious reasons. And Muhammad says something and Jesus goes, keep quiet, invisible boy. I'm still talking.
That's actually not bad.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
So they don't walk into a bar. If the four of them sit down for tea, they go up to a replicator.
And so she was supposed to determine who was the greatest for humanity. And in the end, she went through like 3 pages of writing. It was supposed to be like a 1-page thing. Mm-hmm. She did 3 pages of writing. And in the end, the four of them decided that they really shouldn't take credit for anything else, anybody else. They should either all be in or not be in at all. I'm like, that's a great take on that.
That's actually some really well done critical thinking.
Yeah. That's some upper level stuff.
Yeah.
I like that.
That's fantastic.
But she threw such a fit at the beginning. I'm throwing out these oddball things about the water to wine and you can't portray Muhammad. And she took it and ran and just made it like satire the whole way through, which is fantastic. I hope she gets a grade on it. But
yeah,
you know, and that's part of my problem, too, is like the discussions are like, I need 4 to 6 paragraphs on this. And it turns out to be like 4 to 6 pages. Like, you want me to have a discussion? I can't just give you what some of these other grad students are doing. 2 lines, like the response. Yeah, I agree with you on this point right here. Nice read, and thanks for sharing.
There's no supporting.
I'm in discussion groups similar to what you just
described.
And
I'm like, I don't get it. At least give me a paragraph. Like, I respond and I give a paragraph that consists of at least 5 to 6 sentences.
Well, I had a course over the summer where I misread the first deadline of the first assignment. I thought it was Sunday by midnight. No, I'm sorry. I thought it was Tuesday by midnight. And then when I went back to reread it on Monday, I saw that it was Sunday by midnight. So I turned it in by Tuesday afternoon. But first, I reached out to a friend of mine on Facebook. I had to find somebody who had been a victim in the past. This person is somebody I went to college with. He's been on ESPN for a couple of years. And he's a first-generation Indian-American. And he was born in New Jersey. And he married a white girl. So I was asking... from India, yes.
Okay.
His parents are from India, and he's a first-generation American.
Got it.
And I reached out to him, and I said, I'm going to ask you a few questions. Do you mind if they get to, you know, more personal nature? Like, have you ever been a victim of, like, you know, this type of, like, you know, xenophobia, racism, whatever you want to talk about? After having interviewed him, because the professor's like, I need you to interview somebody who's been a victim. Of course, this is during the height of everybody's being on quarantine, right? So
right.
I can't really go anywhere. So I needed to write a page. I wrote 4 pages and turned it in with somebody who's given a TED Talk before and linked to the TED Talk. I'm like, here you go. You know, I hope this makes up for the fact that I was late. I wound up getting an A in the course. I'm sure that played a part in it. I'm like, oh, I'm going to cover my bases here, you know?
Yeah, I got the same professor my first class as I do now. And so I got a perfect grade in my first class, which I was like, okay. I was expecting to at least get a few points off in something, like maybe something was misspelled or the punctuation was off on something. It was like, okay. And here it is, my first week's grades, all perfect. I'm like, okay. But I do spend a lot of time on school. And even my discussions, I read them, and then I edit them, and then I reread them, and then I finally post them. Like, I just don't write crap down and post.
Which makes me wonder, here's a question for you. Do you think now that we're in our 40s and going back to school, that the way we view school is completely different than when you went to college the first time?
100%.
I don't know. Did you go to college?
I did. I went to college when I was in my early 20s, but I was in the Army, but I was going to a brick and mortar school, Central Texas College, because they had one on every base. And yeah, like, okay, I'm doing this so I can get promotion points, so I can get promoted, more than I'm doing this because I actually want to learn something. And it showed. And so I didn't finish my associate's degree until 2009. It took me 12 years to finish an associate's degree because I just drug it out. And then I was like, you know what? I want to get my bachelor's. I spent 1.5 years, finished my bachelor's, took a little break, and now I'm back in doing my graduate studies, and I'm like, holy crap, go me.
Exactly.
Like, I'm way more disciplined, I'm way more mature, and I mean, it comes with life experience, and with age, hopefully comes wisdom.
Craig's stuck on the word mature.
Yep.
I'm positive that's what's making him. That's what
I'm mature for a full grown 4-year old. So, like, you know, I don't use a sippy cup anymore.
Yeah. I'm entirely
as he does
afraid.
That, he goes for the water bottle with a straw. Yes.
I'm in, one of the things that makes me nervous about going back to school, which is supposed to be happening. I'm glad I didn't start right away in the fall, like you had said I should. There's no way I could have handled all the stuff that I've been doing with Wendy changing jobs and with the kids' extra stuff. My problem was when I was young, and it's going to be even worse now because I get bored super easy. I get bored easier now than I did when I was young. Mm. I can't sit through a lecture. Just can't. I will fall asleep.
In that case, you might consider thinking about something in the spring. See how the rest of the fall plays out. Only because, and Bobby, I think you might agree with me on this, so much stuff is still going to be virtual that you really won't have to sit through a lecture.
Just do it all online.
So much of it can be done online. The lectures aren't 100% necessary. And when they do eventually go back, you're going to have a lot of people who are going to offer stuff like, online.
We watch a lot of TED Talks and they have videos that are linked to us. And so, yeah, some of the videos I'm like, I can't watch this crap, you know, but I kind of put it on in the background and I do other stuff and kind of osmosis it. And whatever, but yeah, like sitting through lectures, I'm like,
The other thing that makes me nervous about going back to school is I'm pretty sure I can't chug a 6-pack of beer every day.
Okay. Yeah, don't do that. Bad. The part that really gets me about school now is everything that I'm learning, I feel, is politicized. And I know we don't talk about
there's
politics.
There's a lot of it. There's a lot of it.
But it's so politicized. And I couldn't help but talk about it in one of my discussions last week. And I was like, I'm sorry, I wasn't trying to get political. But the whole thing, it really is political because they've injected it into everything.
And that's a big problem that I have, is that college courses are not supposed to teach you what to think, but how to think critically.
Right.
And we've forgotten that that's actually the job of the professors. It's not to put their views out there. It's to teach you how to think critically. And that's been lost for a long time, and it just keeps getting worse. And that's why politicizing it is dangerous, because your political views are not facts.
Exactly. Like, I see things one way. You guys see things a little different. I mean, we're kind of in the same ballpark on a lot of stuff, which is why we get along so great. But we have our different opinions. But yet, we're all three still sitting at this table
and
doing a podcast.
And we're mature enough to know when that conversation starts going over to where it could cause issues. Hey, is that a butterfly?
Sippy cup.
Squirrels.
We know to steer the conversation away.
Exactly. Squirrels. Exactly. No, I agree with the whole politics aspect of it. There's a, you know, some courses I'm in now, courses I took over this summer, where they're talking about one of the courses over the summer, I needed to relate some of what I was learning to what was going on in the country over the summer. One of the courses I'm taking now actually relates to one of the courses I took over the summer. And the scary thing about some of the information of, you know, that has been drilled into me at this point is some of the things that, you know, educators are trying to fight have been at the forefront of education as a whole for like the last 40 years. It's like, okay, make the change already. Let's do this. So there's a whole new generation of teachers who are hopefully, you know, trying to remove themselves from such a stigma. And I'm not going to get into all the...
I will give you one warning real quick, because I've known this to happen when a new teacher comes into a school with people who have been there for a while. This actually happened. A brand new teacher told a group of veteran teachers, well, you guys don't know how to do it anymore. I just came out of class and know all the new techniques. So whatever you've been doing for the past 20 years isn't going to work anymore. You better listen to what I have to say.
I will.
Don't be that guy.
I'm not being that guy. Although when I was subbing about 2 weeks ago, when we had a big rainstorm about 2 weeks ago, right? Rain came through the area and it was like fifth period, whatever. And there was another teacher in the room who was going through a short story. And as the rain got heavier in the classroom, I was watching every student here. They're all 10th graders and they're all just slowly. Yes, exactly. Craig just decided to tune me out. Like these students were tuning out the teacher. They're like, looking out the window at the rain and listening to the thunder. And I thought to myself, you know, I'm like, right now, one of the courses I'm taking, it's a 600-level course, the teaching of writing. I'm thinking to myself, We just discussed a whole bit about creative writing. If I wasn't just the sub, I would have told the students, had they been mine, I would be like, all right, everybody, computers down, or open up a new Google document, or get out a piece of paper and a pencil, start writing. Huh? Like, but the brain, what are you thinking? How does it make you feel? Who are you thinking of? What are you thinking of? How does the thunder sound? Just write 5-10 minutes. I don't care. Just like that. It was one of those things. I'm now writing a paper for this class on the spontaneity of creative writing. I brought this up to a teacher across the hall because her daughter and mine are in the same sixth grade class. And I asked her, I go, is this something that is worth pursuing? She goes, actually, that's ingenious. I might actually use that. I'm like, so to your point, Craig, yes, don't go up to a teacher and be like, I just got out of school and I know what's going on. It's like, hey, do you think this might work? You know these students better than I do. How would you do this and then make everything, you know, you meld the old and the new and you create something that works for everybody.
Plus, what you learn in the classroom doesn't always work in a classroom.
That's right.
Everything briefs well. And yes. No plan survives first contact.
Right.
The best laid plans of mice and men all off go astray. Yes.
But that was like, you know, when I was having that discussion with one of the women in my class, you know, she's like, oh my God, I didn't want to get political, but I will just a little bit, you know, because you got somewhat political. And I was like, you can't help it. I'm like, and one of my replies to her, one of my replies to her was, there's a chapter in the book. It's called Political Capital.
Yeah.
We are the name of the book is Asset Building, or what is it? Asset something or other and Community Building. And I'm like, okay, so we're doing it. Obviously, politics are going to be involved in that because you've got society, ecology, and the environment. Those are, you know, like the three pillars. Mm-hmm. And they all have to be standing. And yeah. So anyway, I just wrote a whole bunch about that crap today. So I really want to talk about it because my brain's kind of fried. It's like you said. You're supposed to think critical and not be taught what to think.
Right.
But think critically, i.e. go out and do the stuff, do the research on your own, analyze the data yourself, come out with some type of answer and go. And if it doesn't work, reanalyze and do it all over again. But yes. People don't do that. Oh, no. Facebook told me to think this while I was sitting on the, you know, on the pooper.
Yeah.
Oh, well, okay. So this person bad, this person good, whatever. And yeah, it's...
Fire bad, water good.
No, I remember Phil Hartman, the caveman attorney from Saturday Night Live.
I don't remember.
Oh,
that
you don't remember
one.
That? Okay, no, I'm never sorry. Mind.
I'm voting.
I got a pop culture reference that neither of you got.
Well, I'm
I get
voting
it now, but okay.
I'm voting Gowron 2020, so he can restore honor to the House of White.
Oh my okay. God! Oh my God!
Sorry, it was a meme, and I saw it, and I was like...
Glory to you and your house.
And he had his big bug eyes and his knife up, and he's, you know, doing his bug eyes.
Honestly,
like, oh
I am
God.
Not a Bills fan, but my favorite political signs that are out there now are the Ellen Diggs one.
Those are great.
They are.
Absolutely great. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the best memes right now are all the ones of Josh Norman just being completely manhandled.
Who's your daddy?
Oh, my God.
Did you see the...
Oh, my... Did you see the one...
the Wikipedia that Rich sent?
Yeah. Did you watch the video compilation of, like, somebody made a video and they put it on replay and it was, like, all the things that...
I saw one where... Who was running the ball? Was it Derrick Henry?
I believe so.
I think it was Derrick Henry was McDonald's and Josh Norman was the milkshake machine.
Yeah. And then they had it where they had the COVID virus was Josh Norman and then the running back was Trump. And he just stiff-armed the COVID virus.
All of them were just
great. I couldn't help but laugh. They were all great.
I don't know. You see stuff like that, you're like, oh, God bless the internet. It's just wonderful.
Dawson Knox did that for the Bills last year.
I know.
He stiff-armed a guy on the sidelines and just... against the Bengals.
Right, and the thing is...
ran right through him like he wasn't even there.
Dawson Knox then got a concussion late in the season. He hasn't been the same since.
Nope.
So I'm hoping he recovers eventually. It would be nice for the Bills fans. So I...
Yeah, that was fantastic. I was laughing. And I was like, wow, they actually put Trump in a video. That was kind of a positive thing. Like, it was positive because it was funny.
Yeah.
So
meanwhile, everybody was somewhat... You know, let's put it this way. If the world did not have COVID-19 right now, mm-hmm. I can almost guarantee you that 2 weeks ago, was it 2 weeks ago, whenever the fly landed in Mike Pence's hair, I can almost guarantee you Jeff Goldblum would have actually been on Saturday Night Live that weekend because they actually did a fly like homage where they put Jim Carrey as Joe Biden's face on Jeff Goldblum getting into the chamber. And
that movie freaked me out.
Oh, God,
it is a freaky movie.
At the very end, when he turns into the fly and he's like standing there and he wants old girl to like blast him in the head with a shotgun and stuff.
Like,
and
I was just like, no.
Like, I can't watch that anymore. Like,
yeah,
done.
Spoiler alert. Nope.
Oh, well, yeah. If that movie's old, if you haven't seen it, whatever. Yeah.
They'd be like, wait a minute, I saw the one in black and white. Doesn't matter. The ending's the same. The fly ain't going to live.
No.
So.
Speaking of remakes and remakes and remakes, my daughter says, I want to see A Star Is Born. I go, which version? She wants to see the Bradley Cooper version.
Go figure.
Yeah. So, meanwhile, I've been looking up news on the series of books you said was been optioned for a movie.
Yes.
I haven't seen anything.
No?
No, I found news.
I'll pass it on to you.
Yes. If you can find news on that, I would like to get excited to see these movies.
I'm going
to
go all pop culture real quick.
Imagine that, one of our episodes having pop culture in it.
Well, it's near the end of the episode.
So right, pop culture time on Dads Must Be Crazy.
It's our pop culture wind down. Yes.
With the Star Trek universe, obviously Captain Janeway is getting a series.
Yes.
They're
it's
talking
be a cartoon, though.
I know. It's on Nickelodeon.
Nickelodeon, yeah.
They're doing a Section 31.
Yes, and I can't wait because I love
I hope
her.
That's like a live action one.
It is.
And then
Philippa Giorgio is going to be in it. Michelle Yao.
Really?
Yes.
And then they're talking about doing a Cisco spinoff.
I saw that too.
And well, Pike has already been greenlit.
Yes.
Area the 31 one, Section 31 has already been greenlit.
Yep. So is the Janeway one. They're already making it.
Yep. The Worf one is greenish orange.
Yep. And Cisco is right about there too.
Yep.
And I'm like, these are all
and
the reasons.
Three movies. In the works.
Is J.J. Abrams doing them?
No.
Dang it. But
Quentin Tarantino's back on doing one of them.
Okay.
I just want to see a movie where Chris Pine is Kirk and Chris Hemsworth is George Kirk, and I want to see the two of them. It could be a Star Trek action comedy, and I'm okay with that.
It must have been all the LDS.
I just think these are reasons why Star Trek is better than Star Wars.
Yes.
I think the universe is...
So the Mandalorian's coming out here pretty quickly.
But we agreed. The Mandalorian was left...
I'm
hoping
it.
That season two is more action and less buildup.
I want to see more of Gina Carano.
Yes.
For the love of God, please bring that woman back.
Yes.
Apparently, she's been nearly canceled on Twitter a couple times because she said a couple things that didn't agree with the masses.
Well, she is from Dallas, Texas, and she could I don't. But she could probably kick like 95% of the men's
asses
on the planet.
That's like, kind of why I think she's sexy.
Muay Thai. She is a very, I don't want to say stocky, but she's a very well-built woman, very strong
It's like
woman.
Ronda Rousey, man.
Ronda Rousey, I think I find incredibly sexy too.
Very, very much.
Like her, Gina Carano, like even Paige Van Zandt and her little self.
So walking backwards here for a moment. Dallas, how far from Dallas did you actually grow up?
About 40 minutes.
Okay. Because my cousin lives in Euless. I have to say it correctly because they call it Useless, and I've gotten used to calling it Useless, but it's Euless.
Mm-hmm.
So how far was Euless farther away for you? Or?
Oh, God. Like, Euless is not something that we really talked about. Not because it's a bad town or anything. It just never really came up, so honestly, I couldn't tell you.
It's just like a suburb, right?
They just knew your cousin.
It should be.
And they avoided it.
Can look it up real quick. I feel bad that I don't know it because it's in the DFW area and I really...
And my uncle for many years lived in Corsicana.
I know where Corsicana is. I have been through Corsicana a lot.
One of the...
Oh, yeah. Euless is right in between Dallas and Fort Worth.
Like so, Irving.
Where's Corpus Christi?
That's on the coast.
Okay.
So, yeah, the reason Euless, I never really went to Euless is because it's on the north side of DFW. Because I always went on the southern side driving 20. And so Euless is up on the 183, which I know is like talking a foreign language to you guys.
I've been there, so you know, I might know a little bit of it. I blew up a rental car out there.
But, yeah. So, and when I say 40 minutes, I mean, if I wanted to get into like downtown Dallas, yes, 40 minutes. But honestly, I could have been in the city limits of Dallas in 20 minutes, but that's on the southern outskirts.
Have you guys watched the movie JFK, the Oliver Stone film?
I've seen...
With Kevin Costner?
A lot of it, but not the whole thing.
Have you seen any parts of it?
Oh, yeah, I've seen parts of it, yeah.
How about when you look at Dealey Plaza, where Kennedy was shot, when you see it on television, we've seen it in the movies, it looks huge. It is super small. Yeah, I had no idea how small it was until I was there.
Yeah, they actually have the spot marked on the ground.
In the middle of the road, and it's a busy road. I almost got killed.
Yeah, there's little grassy knolls over there and all that stuff.
Where the third guy was, the second guy.
It wasn't.
Where was the cigarette-smoking man?
It doesn't matter who. It was Magneto, guys.
It's Magneto.
It was Magneto. Well, how else do you think a bullet bends that way?
I was just talking about the X-Files episode about that.
I know what you're talking about, where the head goes backwards and then all of a sudden comes back.
Yeah, it was actually referenced in X-Men Days of Future Past. When
Darn you all to heck. I'm going to have to rewatch the entire series now.
Just watch that one. That's probably one of the best ones.
Bonnie and Clyde's vehicle that they were killed in is at a museum in Dallas.
It's at the Hard Rock Museum down there, right?
I believe so, yeah.
We robbed banks. Yeah.
Well, they were from my county. So originally where I grew up at. So I can't say what city they were from. They're just listed as Ellis County, Texas, is where they originated out of. And apparently she was married and decided to leave her husband and get with Clyde and just went on the run with Clyde while she was married.
That was one of the best episodes of Timeless, by the way.
It was a pretty good one.
Though
I watched the History Channel miniseries and screamed at the television. So
what's that? Bonnie and Clyde with Emile Hirsch and what's her face?
Yep.
Holiday Granger.
I was screaming at the television. No!
You know what? You know why I didn't watch it? Because I grew up in the county they're from. Hey, guess what we're going to talk about today? Bonnie and Clyde. Guess where they're from? Here. Okay. And so it just part of Texas history. Because let's be honest, there's no state that takes its history as serious as Texas.
Or anything else.
That's right.
Anyway, we're going to wrap it up. I think we've been at 44 minutes. What a heck of a comeback for us after taking a break for, a month? Month and a half?
Roughly.
Did we? Really?
It's been 5 weeks.
Time has flown. I was looking at my syllabi the other day, or this morning. I've only got like six more of one
I hate
classes.
Those things.
I actually have been using it. I'm using them to keep track of what I'm doing, and knock on wood, I'm doing really well right now.
I literally just look at the week ahead and go, okay, is that a research paper? No. Does that have to be APA formatted? No. Okay.
Yeah.
Not too bad.
Yeah.
Because everything's due. There's no changes.
Yeah.
Discussions on Thursday by midnight. Responses by Saturday midnight. Your final paper for the week, Sunday by midnight.
I wrote one that was due at 11 p.m. about 2 weeks ago. I started writing it at 11:04 and even wrote in the response, I'm a little late in posting this one. It's 11:04. And then I wrote like,
do you know where your children are?
I didn't write that. And about 10 paragraphs later, I said, it's 11:22. I think I covered everything I need to. I hope everybody understands. I wound up getting a 10 out of 10. I'm like, okay. Transparency works.
Yeah, so, you can't beat it.
Yeah.
All right. So for Howie and Bobby, I am Craig. Thank you for listening to The Dads Must Be Crazy. Join us again next week. The Dads Must Be Crazy would like to thank Scott Leffler for putting together our awesome intro to the show. And thank you to Amanda Hodge, who helps us with our designs and logos. Intro and outro music provided by Incomtech.com. Our theme music is Retro Future Clean by Kevin McLeod, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license.